Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. A new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say.
Good evening. You're on the air with Waking Up with Linda McShann. Today is Think Thursday, and we're going to leave you a lot to think about. We have Miss Gloria Monon coming on. She's going to be talking about the paleo diet. And then we have Kamalika that will be joining after Gloria, telling you about your spiritual animal, and you know she knows how to bring that to us. Before we get started here, I want to make sure that you're staying safe out there. You're strong. I'm going to keep you well. You're happy. And most of all, stay connected so that you can get this education and learn about unification and the importance of collaboration here. You know, we're humanitarians. Humanitarians have big hearts and great love. And those hearts and love is felt by all people and all things. Here's your quote from God for the 18th. And there's no need to seek impatiently for greatness, fame, or wealth. The earth and the sun do not hurry. They follow their own path at their own pace. If the earth was to accelerate and complete one rotation in 3 hours instead of 24, we would be in big trouble. The most important thing in life is to find a sure and certain path and confidently walk along that path, because that's something that you have, something that you need to do. Tomorrow is June 19th, and we're going to be celebrating Juneteenth, okay? So we'll be dark tomorrow, but AG and I will come back up, and we're going to tell you all about it on Monday. You know, AG gets out there, and she tells us everything that we need to do and everything we have to do. But before we bring on Gloria, I'm just going to play a little bit of this Love Train. I hope you all got your tickets out there. Just take a listen, and then we'll have on this Gloria telling us how to take care of our body. I just wanted to tell you about that. I want you to get on the train and keep in mind that your power is to the polls. And when you take your power to the polls, you cast that vote, you see what the power of the people can do. So we're going to, like, stay on this train. And I want to see if Miss Gloria Milan is with us this evening, because she's going to tell us about the paleo diet. Gloria, are you with us this evening on Think Thursday?
Yeah, Miss Linda, how are you?
Wonderful. Good evening. And thank you for taking out time to care and share. We're waking up on the match and something to think about. I'm so you can take it off.
Okay. I couldn't help but start singing along with the Love Train. I remember that when I was in college 100 years ago. But it's still real at this time, all these many years later. So, but tonight I am going to finish the series that I started on the different types of diets. And tonight we're going to be talking about the paleo diet. And that is short for the Paleolithic. Remember that period, it's been about 2 million years ago when our ancestors got trapped in the Ice Age. And so, you know, during that time it was very cold. But at any rate, the point I wanted to make is that there are people that believe that they could go back, predecessors ate during that time. Now, let's remember that this is another name for a caveman or the Stone Age, you know, during that time. So mostly, again, they hunted, you know, and there was very little. There were wild plants and that type of thing, but so there wasn't a whole lot of fresh vegetables, I should say, during the time. And it says that our predecessors used simple stones that were not advanced enough to grow and cultivated plants. So they hunted, they fished, and they gathered wild plants for their food. So they believe that, you know, the food that they ate then will help them to solve some of the 21st century ills that we have, you know, such as the, what do they call, chronic diseases. And they believe that they go back to the way our ancestors ate all those many years ago, that it would be beneficial to them. So what I want to do is to help you come to your own conclusion about what it is, and I'll tell you how it works. I'll give you a summary of some of the foods, give you a little bit of the research, which is coming from the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health, is where is our nutrition. So to quickly, the diet includes lean meats, fish, fruits, vegetables, nuts, and seeds. They emphasize choosing low glycemic fruits and vegetables. So some examples of low glycemic fruits are like cherries, grapefruits, apples, strawberries, oranges, plums, and pears. Some low glycemic vegetables are carrots, green beans, tomatoes, cucumbers, green peas, onions, lettuce, greens such as spinach, kale, and in that family. And of course, there are many others, but these are just a few. And, you know, there's a debate about whether these foods even existed during that time. And so the variation in the diet depends upon the region that you come from. And it talks about how modern day fruits and vegetables that we have today bear little resemblance to what was, you know, in the prehistoric time. So, like, for example, white potatoes were recorded as being available during that period of time. But the people who use the paleo diet now restrict the potato because they say that it's a high glycemic index food, even though it was eaten back in those times. They say that it is not the best one to eat. So overall, the diet is high in protein, moderate fat, low to moderate carbohydrate. Unlike what we talked about 2 weeks ago, the keto diet was very little carbohydrate. This does have low to moderate carbohydrates. It is high in fiber. It's low in sodium and refined sugars. So, So some of the foods that are allowed, as I stated earlier, were fresh lean meat, fish, shellfish, eggs, and nuts. I was going to talk about the pitfalls. So if you can imagine, so they're saying that, you know, meat is the most important thing on this particular diet. Because, you know, if we can vision pictures that we've seen of the Stone Age, they were always at this big club, you know, trying to kill some animal. And that was, you know, basically, you remember what they ate.
Oh, yeah.
So if you can imagine, well, this would be a pitfall for me, because that's going to take a lot of planning. First of all, I don't own any animals, so that means I'm going to have to buy them. And, of course, wheat costs more than fruits and vegetables and that type of thing, and grains. So that's one of the pitfalls, is planning and cooking this meat, because I don't know, there are some people that do eat raw meat, steak tartare, I can think of, but for the most part, we do cook our meat. So that's going to take some planning, and it's going to take us some time to actually prepare it. And then the higher cost of meat as opposed to fruits and vegetables and beans and that type of thing. Now, the other thing that has me really concerned is that it excludes some foods like whole grains, which we know we do need, and dairy.
Okay.
And so that means that if we follow this diet, we, over time, I've heard, I saw somewhere, you know, it may be take up to a year for it to actually show how the deficiency affects your body from not getting the calcium that you need to keep your bones strong. And, of course, we know how important vitamin D is, because it's the sunshine vitamin, and then B vitamins. So the diet, the foods that we can eat on the paleo diet actually excludes those very important vitamins. And so we need to take that into consideration. However, you know, everything works for a short period of time. And this is for, you know, again, it's one of those diets that will work short term. You will lose some weight, is the question that we should ask. And then there are some other health concerns because of the high meat intake. And as we know, several studies have shown us that a high intake of red meat is linked to higher risk of death, cardiovascular diseases, and diabetes. So that's another diet that I can pretty much check off my list as well. Because, again, it does work short term, but we're looking for something that can become a lifestyle. Because if it's something that's good for us, of course, we want to continue it, you know, as much as we can throughout our life, if it's something that's good. And so throughout this series, I have been, you know, looking for the diet that is sustainable and has long-term benefits. And if you guys remember, the first one we talked about was the Mediterranean diet. And it looks like it's pointing toward it being the most sustainable, meaning that this is something that you could, you know, eat this way for a lifetime, because it includes, you know, everything the body needs. Vegetables, fruits, whole grains, proteins. You can have seafood, and some poultry. But it gives us a wide range. And so what I'm learning is that the body is diversified. You know, even though all of our organs and everything work together, but we enjoy, you know, our body likes different types of things, actually keep those organs working properly. And so I don't know, the conclusion that I've come to is that the Mediterranean might be the most sustainable and the one with the most long-term benefits, because that is what we're looking for, long-term benefits. Now, this, as I said, it does have some of the research so far, and it produced, again, short-term benefits. And some of those were weight loss, reduced waist circumference, decreased blood pressure, increased insulin sensitivity, improved cholesterol. So these studies were of short duration, like 6 months or less. They only had a small number of participants, less than 40. But, you know, they found that, you know, it does do those things, you know, like over a shorter period of time. And if we are looking for sustained results and all of the good measurements of health, it seems like the Mediterranean diet is probably the best out of those four diets that we talked about. So,
the four diets, and we went to the Mediterranean, and I can go back and list them, but I kind of like go along with you on the Mediterranean diet because it does give you more choices, less restrictions.
Right.
To go into, but back with this diet that we're speaking of today, that no, they're not giving that calcium and vitamin D and vitamin B. I guess they didn't need it back then, but we definitely need it now. So that's an X for me not going that way. And I'm gonna sort of like lean with you on the Mediterranean diet because it does have all the goodies in there, the seafood and the poultry and all of that stuff that I like, you know, to set up. So when we speak of, I noticed that each time you talk with us, your main concern is sustainability when we start these things, you know,
and long-term benefits.
Long-term benefits, okay.
Long-term benefits.
That's what you're looking for.
That is
the long-term benefits. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So we have to find, you know, something that works for us, and each one of us is different, you know, because I find myself some days I have an appetite that's raging. I'm like, oh, my God. And then there are a few days when I, you know, I don't feel like eating anything, or I might not even know what I want to eat. But what I try to do is that when I do eat, I try to choose things, you know, that meet some of those Mediterranean requirements as much as I can, as humanly possible.
Okay.
Yeah. So, were there any questions?
Not really, because I'm sitting up here trying to remember. I'm leaning with you, and the most points that I've gotten from this is we need to look for long-term benefits, not like the short-term.
Yeah.
You know, it might reduce
the
weight, it might reduce the blood pressure, but if it's going to reduce it for 6 months and double it up 6 months later, it's really not of any help. And it is about the lifestyle, and your diet is the way you eat is a lifestyle. You know, people go on all these diets and drink shakes and things of that nature, but are you going to keep that up for the rest of your life? So when you go into the vegetables and you know, you will send a person to the store to get some red peppers and yellow peppers, and I'll never forget. First time you shared about, I think everybody was running to the store getting papaya and things of that nature. I keep my list with me, you know, and drinking my green drink. I don't blend it every day, but I know where to find it, and it's sort of like I yearn for that, you know. Well, okay, I'm going to have this tea. I'll have this coffee, but I'm going to have the green drink also. So you've been very, very good for us out there. You keep us thinking on this Think Thursday. on that. So I know you come back every other, and because you're working on your certificates, and we really appreciate you for keeping us healthy, keeping us on this wellness trip. And if you'd like to stay on, Carmelita will be coming on talking about our spiritual animal. So if you'd like to hold on and listen, I'm going to bring her in, and if not, I'll still need to wrap up at the end of it. But, you know, the last time she was with us, she talked about the butterfly. And, you know, that's my favorite one is the butterfly. Yes. So, and there's a little quiz and some information that she will be sharing where persons, listeners can go in and take this quiz and find out what their spiritual animal is. But I'm going to let her talk about that. But before I bring her on, you know, we're going to play a little bit of Love Train again because we're riding on this train of love. And then
and one more thing, Linda.
Yes. What
okay. One more thing I want to leave with people, you know, like, if it gets serious.
Okay, go on.
If we're trying to figure out, as long as you remember to anything like from a plant, the problem, the thing is to make sure that what you eat is not made in a plant, as in a manufacturer. But as long as you're eating whole foods, you're on the right track. Okay, just make sure that it's plants and not from a plant, as in a manufacturing plant. As long as it comes out of the ground and off of a tree and from a bush, you're on the right track. Stay
on the ground.
Yes.
And off the tree. Okay.
Yes.
So let me ask you.
Yes.
Now, when I mix up my green drink over here, you know, it's already mixed. Am I in good hands with that drink, or should I just go totally natural, or has it been mixed up in there with some other stuff? Because I buy my drink already made.
Hey, that's not a problem, because there are some very good brands out there, and I know that you know those, as long as it's pretty much organic. You know, if you can stay organic, you're doing good. Yes.
Stay organic.
Stay organic, because the organic plants and foods, they went through a lot to they didn't have to go through it. They became strong from the environment that they grew up in. So, whenever you can, and there's a list, maybe I'll give that next time, that tells you what fruits and vegetables that are good to be eaten. Some of them need to be organic and some of them do not. And next time I'll share that with you. And Linda, I'm sorry I took up so much time, but I wanted to make sure that people, you know, understood what direction to take as far as what to eat. As long as it's made by the universe, you're on the right track.
I appreciate that.
You know what I mean. Yeah.
I appreciate that. You know, we don't care about that little time as long as we're giving them something to think about. So on that note, Ms. Willard, I'm going to say thank you again. And we're going to ride on the train around the corner. And then we'll bring Ms. Carmelita in and let her tell us about that spirit animal. I love you. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. Hi, Ms. Carmelita.
The next stop we're making, we're going to stop and listen to Ms. Carmelita. That's going to tell us about our spiritual animal. Carmelita, are you on the line with us this evening? We're waking up with Linda McCann.
Yes, I am, A.T. Linda. I'm here.
How you doing today, Douglas?
I'm wonderful. I'm so excited to be here, and I'm so thankful that you guys are having me back.
Yes. Yes, we want to keep you coming back because you bring us good stuff. And, you know, we have to keep thinking over here. We've had a lot of stuff happening, a lot of changes, a lot of reforms, a lot of protesting, a lot of walking, a lot of just, you know, moving in the progress. Just things are moving. So we have to have you come on so that you can have us think about that spirituality and give us some good examples so that it's easy for us to grasp when we see it. And on that note, I'm just going to sit over here and let you go for it.
All right. Hi, Miss Gloria. I just wanted to say that and thank you for sharing the wonderful information about the food. I remember about the water, so I'm always, you know, intrigued with her lessons, and I do apply. So, but tonight, I definitely want to share with you all some insights about spirit animals and one of the universe's most ancient messengers, the bumblebee. So, yeah, like you said, these are some history-making events taking place all around us, and I believe that many of us are searching. We're recalibrating. We're looking for something to believe in and maybe even great leaders to follow. As for me, I'm definitely doing a lot of that, but I'm also saying here tonight that I find a lot of comfort in looking inward, looking to nature, and that's how the bee came to me. I for the last maybe 5 years or more, I noticed that I could be in traffic, and out of nowhere, a bee will come fluttering past my window shield. I would be at the bank, and a bee will come and land on me. I would read a book or a magazine, and the bee would come in there. So that's kind of how I got started on this journey. So, you know, like I said, if you don't mind, I would like to share with you all a little bit about this wondrous communicator from the sky and how I've used its wisdom in my own personal life by applying my own take to it with, you know, just being intuitive on how I feel when I encounter the bee. Before I get started, though, I just want to give a little background. I think most of us are familiar, but just in case, the word bumblebee is a compound of bumble plus bee. Bumble meaning to hum, to buzz, drone, or move about ineptly or flounderingly. So bees are said to be around 81 to 96 million years old, and their family comprises over 250 species. So, but for the sake of tonight's conversation, though, I just want to narrow it down, and we'll focus on the bumblebee and the honeybee. And, yeah, okay. I didn't know that they were two separate beings, but they are. So to distinct between the two, though, bumblebees vary in appearance but are generally more plump and densely furry. They tend to be larger, broader, and have stouter bodies than the honeybee. Bumblebees also tend to have fewer stripes, or they may not even have any at all, and are usually covered with black fur on some part of their body. So, and then the bright colors of the bumblebee tend to serve as a warning signal, suggesting that the females particularly can inflict a very painful sting. And depending on the species, the warning colors can range from black to bright yellow, red, orange. Just some stuff I was not aware of. I would love to see a pink bumblebee. But while bumblebees do not have ears, they are sensitive to the vibrations made by sound and the sound that's traveling through, like, wood or other materials, flowers, what have you. The bumblebee is also what's called a social learner. So that means that they learn from each other. They watch and they see what the queen or what their other fellow drones do, and they pick up on those lessons. Now, there was a study done where they took some bees and they gave them a task like gathering nectar from a flower. And the bees that witnessed that, they didn't necessarily copy that bee, the bees that came before them, but they did emulate their goal, meaning they learned the lesson and ultimately got the nectar or, you know, obtained the nectar, but they may have took different steps. So I thought that was pretty interesting that that's how they get down. But most bees, they form colonies, and these colonies can be anywhere between 50 to 400 individual bees. Some bees that have been documented to have formed colonies as small as 20 bees and even as large as 50,000 bees. So they're going from 50 to about 50,000 bees in their colonies. And then another interesting fact I thought was the fact that these, their nest, they only last for a single season. So they spend all the time, you know, building this beautiful home and place to thrive, and it's a highly functioning ecosystem where they're producing food, they're producing babies, and they're producing wax and honey and all of those good things, and it only lasts for a single season, and usually most of the nests don't last through the winter, but in the early spring, the queen comes out of hibernation and finds a suitable place to create her colony. And in doing so, what she does is she uses the, you know, the sperm that she was impregnated with from the previous year and builds this colony in the spring with new drones and new workers and things like that, female bees and that thing. So someone may be saying, well, what does this all have to do with me? And what does this have to do with a spirit animal? For me, spirit animals have come to teach us, and there's many, many, many spirit animals. But again, we are talking about the bumblebee tonight, and for me, I would say that the bumblebee has taught me a few things. First, the fact that the bumblebee, you know, roams about. It goes from flower to flower, pollinating the land. It has encouraged me to be more wanderous, to inquire, to move about my land, my space, and to be curious. And that's what I've taken from that attribute of the bee. The other attribute that we talked about was the fact that they're 81 to 96 million years old. Okay, that's way before I was born. But that, to me, is a direct reflection of how ancient these insects are and how connected they truly are to the divine. The divine decided to put them here millions and millions of years ago, and they still exist today. And so I thought that was pretty cool. But the bumblebee, we know that it varies in appearance, right? Some are furrier, some are bigger, some have different colors. And again, the lesson that I took from that is that we all come in many shapes, sizes, and thought patterns. And that makes us each unique and important and special to the whole divine order of life. Not one of us not necessary to the creation of life. And that's what I took from that. And then And the attribute where we talked about the colors, the various colors, right? And these colors suggest certain signals or warnings. And for me, I took that as, Carmelita, you need to be more alert of your environment. Be conscious. Wake up. Be woke in everything that you do. Pay attention to life signals and warning signs. And you know, at the red light, the yellow light, the green light, but also like Miss Gloria was talking about, when we're eating our food, how does our body respond? When we are getting, when we're not getting enough sleep, or we're eating too much of this, just paying attention to ourselves, because I think nature is constantly communicating with us if we just simply pay attention. So then another attribute that we did talk about was the fact that bumblebees do not have ears. So then how do they communicate? How do they go about? What they are saying to me is that we're made of energy and we're made of electrical charges and we're governed and guided by the seen as well as the unseen. So for me, it's a reminder to honor the fact that there's a lot of things going on that I just don't see. And that doesn't make it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist just because I don't see it. So be aware, you know, there's the ocean that's teeming, that's flowing with all types of creatures and whales and sharks. And I don't see them, but they sure do exist. And so, again, the bee reminds me to honor that truth, the seen and the unseen. So as I come to another attribute, we talked about the fact that the bee is a social learner, right? That means they sit back and they're paying attention to what their forefathers did, what those elders did, the ones that came before them. And they learn from one another. And I'm not saying that everything you see is the right thing, but I think inside we're governed by something very special, and we each know what is right for us. And so to honor that truth as well. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And so as we come to, you know, the final few attributes we spoke about, we talked about the fact that bees build colonies, and they build in certain sets of numbers. Some have large colonies, some have very small colonies, but the truth is they build together. They build community, because for me that says that there's strength in the numbers. And And the final thing that I gather from this lovely creature just by looking at it and honoring it is the fact that, they may only last a single season, but they come back. They store their wisdom or their hard work that they did the previous year, and they build on that. And so they seek the wisdom that they've obtained, because there's always a time and a place for everything under the sun. So it's about being in tune with that wisdom and applying it when the time is right. So I think that's a lot of the lessons that I personally have gathered from the bee. And I think that we all have our own spirit animals, and we will all have our own take on what those spirit animals are saying to us. So that's my call today, is if you find yourself in a place where you're looking for some direction, some guidance, look to nature. And it doesn't necessarily have to be an animal. It can be a plant or a tree or, you know, a sound, anything. But the point is, nature is constantly calling us, and it's very, very wise. It's been here since the beginning of time. So in conclusion, I just want to say one of the main lessons that I would like to leave you all with is that the bumblebee particularly reminds us to be focused, to obtain mastery on bodies, our minds, and our spirits, while honoring the interconnectedness of all living things. So that's what I would like to point out. And so I think also one thing that I found interesting is that I would look to the bee. Whenever I need help communicating with other people, I look to the bee and I ask it questions, because I feel that it hears me. And I ask questions to it, like, am I aligned with my life goals? Or if I want to heed to my inner voice and wisdom, I kind of just pay attention and see how the bee is in nature, moving from flower to flower, just looking, just observing and paying attention and slowing down the time, which right now it seems like a lot of us have a lot of time on our hands, maybe. But I think that the bumblebee also helps us to be reminded about extracting the sweetness of life and being productive while the sun, while the sun shines. So yeah, that's the bumblebee. But like I said, there's many, many spirit animals and many connections to nature that we all have. And it's just really about paying attention to your environment. What animal do you feel most connected to? What animal do you maybe dream about? That kind of thing. So yeah, that's where I'm at. So thank you so much.
Well, you know, I'm just looking because, you know, I'm the butterfly person, but I have several animals that I connect into, and but butterflies are more delicate. I don't really care. I don't, you know, bees, because I don't recognize them. I know they can sting. Okay, I do know that. But I also know that you're told not to flutter around them. And I did not know they couldn't hear, but they move on that energy and the vibration. So that's something new to learn about. And you had a quiz that you shared with me. Could you give the listeners that website that they could go in and take the quiz and on their spare time just find out what their spiritual animal is? Would you share that with us, Carmelita?
Oh, yes, definitely. Now, there's most likely many avenues and different resources, but the one I came across, it was called spiritanimal.info. That's where you can find it. So it's spiritanimal.info, spelled the way it sounds, spiritanimal.info. And just as a reminder to the people out there, this is just all in fun. And the quiz is just something to give you a level of insight, and it should only be taken as seriously as you feel necessary. And as a suggestion, I found it interesting to go on and click the spirit animal that I thought I was and then take the quiz and see what the computer generates to compare both of those qualities and see if I agree. So that was just fun, but yeah.
Wow. If I can ask you again, now I know you said spiritualanimal.info at. Now, when you give the second half, did you say P as in Paul?
No, it's just spirit, animal.
And that's it. Okay.
Yeah, and that'll take you to the quiz.
Okay, that's what because I saw you had said at PIR or something, there was something on the end, and I didn't know if we had to attach that. Well, you know, I'm going to go check out and see what my spiritual animal is, because, you know, all these different personalities and stuff, I know I love the butterfly, but I like horses, I like the lion, I like quite a few out there. And I need to take the quiz, and I will suggest that listeners take the quiz just to have some fun and find out a little bit about what your spiritual animal is. Sometimes, like you say, you thought that you were one thing and you found out that it was different. Well, Carmelita, we want you to come back again and tell us. Basically, I know you were talking about the bumblebee. I have a classmate, and she was a bee. She had a bee farm, so and they were honeybees. So I'm gonna try to contact her, and perhaps maybe see when you come back and tell us about the honeybee if she'll come back and join us, because this is what she did. So I'll get in touch with her, and if you would sort of like, I don't like to hold you to it, but I am holding you to it. Would you like to do that if I could contact her? And even if she cannot come on, you come back with that honeybee. We have to take this through segments because this is some good information here. And I appreciate you as coming on. It's crazy, like you said. It's busy out there. But this is how we stay woke, and this is how we stay happy. So, listeners, this is Carmelita, and she's into the butterflies and the spirit animals and into basically pay attention to nature. That's the most important thing you want us to do. And Carmelita, is there one last word you'd like to leave the listeners before we go out?
You know what? I wanted to make it clear with the website that I found, which was spiritanimal.info. And when you get on that site, you want to click on the drop-down menu and click on Spirit Animal Quizzes. And that's how you'll access the actual quiz. So, yeah. But other than that, I just say, you guys, thank you for hearing me out. Thank you for allowing me to share. And best of wishes and cheers to your self-discovery.
Could you repeat that one more time, please, so that they really get that?
Okay. So we're repeating the link or the website. So it's spiritanimal.info, spiritanimal.info, spiritanimal.info. And when you get onto the website, there's going to be the drop-down menu up in the right-hand corner. You'll need to click on that drop-down menu. And from there, there's a listing that says Spirit Animal Quizzes, and you want to click on that. And then that's how you will access the actual quiz that I took.
All right. Well, Carmelita, we love you. Thank you, thank you. I'll be speaking with you. I'll send you this. I'm going to summarize it up. And tomorrow is celebration for Juneteenth, so we will not be coming on with Aunt G with Find the Tribe. We're going to sit down, and we're going to deal with nature, and we're going to talk with our ancestors, and we're going to honor our ancestors. So we have a different way to go tomorrow, but we will be back on Friday. And on that note, I'm just going to leave this with everybody. Carmelita, please enjoy, and thank you again. We love you.
Thank you, Auntie. I love you, too.
Thank you.
It's easy to make a decision when your head is clear. You know you have good judgment, but when your life is turning topsy-turvy and you have no reasons for what's disturbing, remember these words.
And that's what we want to say this evening to you. We want you to resolve to be the sun. Then no matter what problems you may face, the dawn will always break, and fine weather will always return, and spring will never fail to come. You out there who are alone, as long as you're connected with Waking Up with Linda McShane, and we're caring and sharing over here courageously, with cheerfulness, don't you worry about a thing, because we have you. We want you to stay safe, stay strong, stay woke, stay happy, and more so, stay connected with us. We love you. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend.
Make me the path for that I mustn't fear, or I'll know the